Radio science fiction stories from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to Relic Radio Science Fiction. Thanks for joining me this week. Here from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater this time. A series that aired from January of 1974 to December of 1982. It's hosted by E.G. Marshall for all but its final year. The episode we'll hear today is from December 23rd, 1979. It's titled Between These Worlds.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Won't you sit down and join the league of the most privileged globetrotters in the universe? Our scientists have given us machines to conquer the air, to plumb the ocean depths, to scale mountains, to span the world within a day. But all their brilliant machines for travel are outstripped by the simple armchair. Seated there, listening to the radio, not only the whole universe is at your fingertips, but a free voyage through all the long corridors of time, winding to the past and stretching unending into the future. Come, join me in an armchair trip, this one into a time that is yet to come.
So you condemned me to death, Truck. I swear to you one thing. If I can save my neck, the first thing I'll do is have yours.
Our mystery drama, Between These Worlds, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Is our other encounters and other worlds. How many of them are inhabited? We may never know in our lifetime, but we can speculate. Or listen to the spinners of tales speculate what they might be like. Come with me into the labyrinth of space to the planet Kromek and to the man who brings us this tale. A man named...
Victor! You called me, Controller?
Yes. Advance.
Yes, Lord. Am I to be sentenced now?
How long have you been in the Black Pit?
Your Lordship should have a better idea than I. A blind man cannot read time, and rats don't wear chronometers.
You are insolent.
No, just truthful.
Are you determined to destroy yourself, Garth?
I thought the die was long since cast.
Obviously it hasn't, since you're still alive.
I thought that was only a technicality.
Must you be incorrigible?
As long as I am to die, why not?
But suppose you are not to.
Not to die?
Yes.
Then I'd say I'm not such an old dog that perhaps I can't learn some new tricks. From a past master, of course.
No, you make it almost impossible to help you.
You want to help me?
Why do you think I brought you here?
I'm still trying to figure that out. If you really want to do something nice for me, you might arrange for me to sit down.
I'll do better than that. Guards, remove his chains. When you have loosened him, leave us.
Such treatment can mean only one of two things. I am to be set free or eliminated.
That is the choice.
My freedom naturally will be conditional.
Naturally?
What are the conditions?
That you return to the endeavor for which you have been trained and selected, the parameters of which you should never have overstepped.
I didn't.
Oh, come now. The indictment brought against you is incontrovertible.
Experimenting with the building of an aircraft, powered in a new fashion, perhaps, but that my efforts in that direction constituted any threat to established power, no. Or that any treason was involved.
You committed the unforgivable.
What?
No machine, engine, motor, or other device capable of producing energy shall be designed, except to take advantage of our national nuclear stockpiles.
But they are inefficient compared to my design.
We have an overabundance of nuclear energy sources.
Nothing is more overabundant than the sun and natural magnetic fields. My machine would cost little to run.
Exactly. Which is why the High One and the Council would frown on their use.
You mean there would be no chance for them to line their pockets?
Why must you consider me your enemy?
Because you are, and always have been since Milada chose me for her mate. The only way you could stop us from being joined was to get me out of the way.
If that was my purpose, I appear to have failed. You're still here, and alive. In his wisdom, the High One has seen fit to commute your sentence and offer you life again.
Why?
Before your disgrace, you were captain of the Astral Fleet. You were charged with the task you had sworn a blood oath to maintain. The safety of our planet, Kronek.
And I would have defended it to the death. My only wish was for better means to protect it.
You are looking the wrong way, Garth. The danger to this planet is not from without, but from within. From starvation.
Starvation? But our population is controlled.
The soil of Kronek is tired, Garth. The planet is slowing down. Our weather is affected. We're facing catastrophic food shortages.
I don't see where I fit into all this.
Haven't you wondered at all the sweeps we have had you make in the past years through the galaxies?
As to seek for any civilization patterned like ours that might be a possible enemy.
How many have we found?
To my knowledge, only one. The planet Earth.
This planet so like our own and so conveniently much larger.
Conveniently?
Yes. They could be the enemy, couldn't they?
Earth? Two galaxies away? Lapped out of our orbits by a time fold? They'll never trouble us.
Are you so sure?
I have circled them three times now. They have some rudimentary spacecraft, mostly unmanned. Don't forget, they're in a different time spectrum from us. Scarcely at the dawn of their civilization.
Yes, but they are like us.
Oh, yes. Of all that I have seen in my galactic travels, the closest. But again, I tell you, they pose no danger to us.
How can you be so sure? You are to land there. Your mission is to mingle with the Earthlings, observe their planet and its resources, and report back to us.
That's what my life is to be saved for. It's a waste of time. Again, I tell you, there's no chance they might try to invade us.
We don't expect them to. What we are considering is invading them in order to destroy them and take over their planet.
I am Victor Garth, of the 770th ring of the Tree of Garth, the last of my line. My father should have been the High One of Kronek, as his grandfather and all the other ancestors. But his brother, my uncle Zyron, took the empire, and we Garths became little better than elite slaves. Only my union with Milada might have saved me, but the forces against me had seen that that would never be consummated. Now I am back in my jail again. And I wonder if my interview with Trok, the controller, ever happened. Or am I still condemned to death?
Give us 5 minutes, guard. Then come to let me out.
Milada?
Yes, Garth.
What brings you here?
You.
You've been a long time coming.
I could not arrange it before.
Then why now, when it is too late for us?
I want to make sure you don't do anything foolish.
Such as?
Are you going to Earth?
I suppose so. Why not? It's better than automatic elimination.
It's better than everything we might have hoped for. If you are successful, you'll be back where you belong, with all that has been taken away from you.
Not quite all. I still have lost you.
No. Not if you succeed. I will be waiting.
Waiting? And you belong to Trock?
Only for so long as he can hold me.
You've come here to tell me that I can win you back.
I've come here to tell you that you must take this trip and this chance so you may possess me.
You realize my return is a chance in a million.
If you return to me, both of us will be free to accept each other again. I promise you.
Then I'll go. And I promise you, I will come back. So many things circling through my mind. Irrational hopes that were no part of my training, but which were the flaws in me that had brought me such desperate times. It wasn't long before my ship had been fitted out, and Trock delivered it to me with my orders.
You are satisfied with your craft?
Well, it's going to take me days to check it out completely.
There isn't time for that.
You realize what the chances are of my accomplishing this mission I'm being sent on?
If anyone can, I'm sure it will be you.
I would be flattered if I could be sure this isn't a convenient way of solving all your problems and getting rid of me with honor.
Well, it's a chance you take. But the prize is worth all the danger.
What prize?
I should rather have said prizes. If you succeed, no one can keep you from the throne. You will be the next High One. And your throne will be shared by your queen, Milada.
Milada. Because of her, I will believe. I'm ready to risk everything.
Then let us tempt fate no longer, since the die is cast.
The die is cast. I only wish I had made the roll. Beyond the reach of Kronach's gravity belt, I have no choice of direction. It is too late to abort. I have a gnawing feeling that even once I reach orbit, I will still have no control. Now I am in free fall. I activate my power sources. To my relief, everything surges into life, lifting me out of orbit, flinging me across the universe towards the black hole and the time fold I must find before I am sucked into its maw. I am all conscious of the whirling vortex of the black hole, the entrance to nothingness and the end of all being that is sucking me towards it. I must take steps to cut my motors. I cannot turn them off. I have been betrayed. Frantically, I manipulate the transmission screen. I can raise no picture. At last, I depend on audio only. Garth Victor to control. Do you read me? Garth Victor to control. Do you read me?
I read you, Garth Victor.
Talk. What are you doing in control?
I have been sitting here expecting your call.
You sent me on this journey knowing I'd never come back.
Guilty as charged.
The most convenient way to dispose of me without embarrassment.
Absolutely. You must realize what a danger you were to us all. You were something of a national hero to an uneasy populace. So the only way to dispose of you successfully to allow you a hero death.
I swear to you one thing. If I can save my neck, the first thing I will do is have yours.
Good luck, Captain Victor. But I'm afraid you have none.
flung out of orbit with my steering mechanism inoperable. I am headed for the terror of the void, the nothingness, the end of being, and I am helpless to save myself from being lost in the night of forever.
We sit in our armchairs, shaken by the strange and not fully understood forces that have Garth Victor in their power. Can we even begin to imagine how horrendous the conception of a hole in the universe could be? A bottomless pit that could swallow us all, drag us down to a hell only dimly imagined by even as great a poet as Dante. I shall return shortly with Act Two. Hope, abandon, ye who enter here. Seven of the most terrible words ever written. The legend that Dante read inscribed above the gate to hell. Yet how much more terrible is the gate that Garth is about to be sucked into? For this is the drain of all the universes, the sinkhole to oblivion, the black hole. Locked in a spacecraft hurtling at full speed, directing him to disaster, all hope should already have been abandoned, except...
There must be something I can do. But what? The suction of the vortex gives me no chance of escape. If I could somehow cut my power, not altogether, but on the starboard side, then my propulsion might veer me far enough to the right for me to reach the time hold and escape to the Earth galaxy. Use my disintegrator gun to blow up one half of my motors and see what happens. It's working. But the spacecraft is revolving like a top. Out of control. I'm coming up on the coordinates for the time fold, but I don't know if at this aspect I can find the window. This may be the end of it all.
You're denying your own daughter?
You know I'd as soon deny my own name.
All right, Commodore.
Will you turn off that stupid radio?
Just waiting to check the weather report.
The devil with it.
Wait a minute, Commodore.
For what?
Stack your pole and come on up here to the bridge. There's something you ought to get a gander at.
I'm on my way.
One favor deserves another. There goes your radio.
Ah, thanks a lot. Now, what else do you have to screw up your old man's day of fishing?
Here, take the glasses.
Yeah.
Here. See, about 6 points off the starboard bow. You make it?
Yeah. What is it?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. By me, it's a UFO.
It's like nothing I ever saw. Wait a minute. It's in trouble.
Yes, I can see.
It's out of control. It's going to crash.
But where?
Hard to tell the way it's flip-flopping, but near enough so we can attempt to rescue... Oh, no!
What is it?
He's headed straight for the drink. He can't pull out.
I wonder if anyone's aboard.
I broke through the time fold and away from the black hole. I recall entering Earth's galaxy within the pull of that planet's gravity, and my spacecraft still out of control. Vaguely, I remember the turning, twisting, toppling descent and my last desperate effort to wrench the heat shield into line by blowing out my remaining power. After that, everything was blackness.
Easy. Take it easy. You're all right.
Better let me pin him down, Pat. No telling what he may be like when he comes out of it.
Oh, I don't think we'll have any trouble with him.
How do you know? This is someone from another world.
If he is, he's not much different from us. Oh, hold it, hold it. He's coming too.
Where am I? About 60 miles southwest of the Florida Keys, aboard the Mavourneen.
Mavourneen.
My fishing cruiser. 48-footer.
Oh, a sea craft.
We call it a boat.
We?
My father and I. Yeah, Americans.
Citizens of the world.
But the Florida Keys?
Yeah, a part of America. The United States.
A part of the world.
The planet we call Earth.
Ah, so I am on Earth. But...
But what?
Forgive me, I must find myself again in meditation. I cannot say anymore. I need time to find myself. I must put my mind into a controlled track, allowing my thoughts to regroup, listening for any messages from beyond. But as I lay in trance, another part of me hears the sound of the Earth people's voices.
You really believe he's from another world?
Where else? You saw that craft he was flying?
He speaks English. He doesn't seem alien in any sense.
If there's anything at all we should have learned from the past 200 years, it's that nobody is an alien.
Well, you're right. It's just...
Just what, Pat?
What? I wouldn't want to think of this one taking off and disappearing.
What are you saying?
I don't know exactly. It's strange. Never happened to me before. I just have a hunch. I found what I've been looking for.
I could hear them talking, but the words didn't make much sense. I was still disoriented from that scrambling, twisting, spinning fall out of the sky. I must have drifted away, because when I returned to consciousness, I was lying in a bed with clean, crisp sheets, and the woman was sitting by me.
How do you feel?
All right. Who?
I'm Pat McGlade. My father and I fished you out of the drink after you crashed.
My craft?
A wipeout. Must have sunk like a stone. You hungry? Yeah, I brought you some food.
No. A little thirsty.
Here. Try this.
It's good. What is it?
Orange juice. You don't know it?
Orange juice. We don't have it where I come from.
Well, where do you come from?
Excuse me. I find it hard to think. I must rest. I had to be careful. I was an enemy in a strange land. My impulse was to talk to this woman, goddess, more beautiful than any female I'd ever known, with her long, curling, burnished hair and the gray-green eyes such as I have never seen among my people. But I still had no way to explain my strange arrival out of the blue. It was the man who made it possible for me to continue my assignment without revealing the whole truth.
Ready to talk about yourself now?
No.
All right. I'll talk about me. Patrick McGlade. McGlade Enterprises. Oil rigs, offshore drilling, ships, heavy goods, but most of all, aeronautics. Every phase, ground to air, and every kind of air-powered vehicle. But I never did see one like the one you dumped in 3-mile-deep waters, so we can't recover it. What was it?
Just a simple scouting craft.
Interplanetary? All right, let's put it on the table. What's your name?
Garth.
That all of it?
Yes. Oh, you mean my designate, Victor.
What does designate mean?
Well, what I do. Explorer. What I'm programmed for. Is it not that way here?
No. We're free men. We program ourselves.
You are permitted?
It took us a couple of centuries of trying to destroy this globe to wake up. Then, instead of fighting ourselves, we got together with the world government and learned to live in peace. I ought to turn you over to the authorities, you know. You are technically an invader of our planet.
Please, don't do that.
Why not? Just give me one good reason. At least, tell me how you got here and from where.
I'm from another universe. A planet beyond your galaxy called Kronik. I came here by accident. Coming through a time fold, I lost control of my craft, only because it had been sabotaged.
You a flying machine capable of intergalactic flight?
I was. I have been flying them all my life.
Oh, that's too bad it was lost.
I can echo that. Now I can't get back to my own planet.
Oh, there might be a way.
How?
Suppose I were to give you the facilities. Could you give me blueprints of that machine?
Well, I'm not an engineer or a draftsman, but I can do just as well. Give me the materials and I'll build you an even better machine.
Would it use nuclear energy? What's the power source?
It would run on the power from your sun, or from any hot star, in combination with magnetic fields.
Son, you have yourself a deal. You build me a prototype and I'll keep your arrival here a secret. I've checked it out. There's no record of your crash.
How soon do we start?
Like I do everything. Yesterday. We're already on our way.
He was as good as his word. We flew in one of Earth's primitive jet planes to a place called Texas. And I went to work constructing the prototype of the spacecraft that Patrick McGlade hoped to convince his world government would eventually provide his weak planet with an umbrella to protect them. He didn't suspect that in using me, I was using him. Earth would never get the craft. I was building it to take me home. Home? Yes. Even after what Trark had done to me. And Milada. I was conditioned to belong to Kronik. And I knew I could go back a hero to lead my planet to the conquest of Earth and the destruction of its soft people so that my countrymen, the super race, could continue to rule the universe.
So here we have a curious triangle. Patrick McGlade, millionaire world mover, obsessed with the greatest deal of his life, a deal to leave the world safe for his daughter. Patricia McGlade, the daughter, the poor little rich girl who at last has found the mate of her choice. And Victor Garth, the man who could be human except for his carefully trained, conditioned reflexes. I shall return shortly with Act Three. Nearly 12 months have passed, bringing us into the year 2280. In this time, the three members of our special triangle have achieved an easy surface familiarity with each other, but the only deep ties that are reciprocal are between father and daughter. Till the birth of a new factor in their relationship, another lady, the spacecraft SP-ENFA-1, solar-powered, electromagnetic field aircraft, the first of her kind.
It has all seemed endless, building it. But the last rivets are being driven home. And at last, my escape from prison is about ready. Except that it will not be easy. This year has forged other shackles which are as hard to escape from as the ones fashioned of steel.
So what do you think of her, Pat?
Oh, she's a winner, Commodore.
What'd you say? A winner?
That too, I'm sure, but I said a winner. One of a kind. Like the man who built her.
She's only one of a fleet your father plans to convince the world government to build.
My father? Don't you, plan to be here to help him?
Now, come on, Pat. That's up to Garth. He might want to go home.
How?
Number one off the assembly line is his to do what he wants with.
You got a girl waiting for you in Kronik, Garth?
You know space pilots. A girl in every planet.
Really? Does that qualify me for right here on Earth?
I wish I could feel I could even begin to measure up.
Why, Garth, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Any chance we could get out of this kettle factory and pursue that thought over a drink?
No, your father. I have some things to...
No, Garth. Everything's done here, but that special radio equipment you wanted to install. Why don't you take the rest of the day off?
No, I don't think so. But I might pick up those components. They're there at the airport.
We've got a car outside?
Oh, I'll drop you off on the way home if you like.
If I like. How could I refuse? I hadn't seen very much of Patricia in the year I'd spent on Earth. I'd been too preoccupied with getting the aircraft built. And she was a free-swinging girl who followed the sun and her own social set. I was just as glad. She disturbed me. Interfered with the simple beauty of my master plan. I couldn't define my thoughts as I examined her. Hair streaming in the wind as we drove in the clumsy, rudimentary machine Earth people called an automobile.
You realize this is the first time I've seen you in 3 months?
Is it?
Obviously. But why would I mention it?
I was wondering that myself.
Do you know, you're a... Well, the politest word I can think of is a heel.
Why?
But what do the girls in Kronach do? Let you trample them, just come whenever you whistle?
I don't understand.
Well, maybe I'll just test that out. Now, let's get right down to cases. I may not have been around much, but I've kept tabs on you. You're either a workaholic or an automaton. Hey, don't you like girls?
Like?
Yes. Or maybe even love. That's what man and woman is about, isn't it?
Not on Kronach.
Come on. Don't you reproduce?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, the workforce must be replenished. Why should I... What are you doing?
I'm conducting an experiment. This is known as a... kiss. How did that grab you?
I don't know what you're saying. But I'd like to try that again. Come here, Pat.
I thought you'd never ask me.
In retrospect, what happened between Pat and me was something I now realized I'd been trying to avoid ever since I met her. But pleasurable as my contact with her was, it only served to strengthen my determination to do what I had to do. Victor Garth.
What? Impossible. Victor Garth is dead.
If you could have had your way, I would be, Truck. But I assure you, I'm not. I'm very much alive.
Where are you?
On the planet Earth.
How did you get there?
That's a long story which we'll keep. What's important at the moment is that I'm planning to return to Kronach. With all the information we need for the invasion of Earth.
Can we invade Earth?
Not only can, but must. Before they wake up and arm themselves.
Then you must lead us there. You're the only one who knows the way.
I shall start off for Kronach tonight. When I pass through the time fold 12 hours later, I will be 1,000 years older and back in your time frame. And still, I will reach you within 24 hours. I want Milada to be waiting for me.
I'll do better than that. Cross the time frame and I shall be waiting for you with our fleet. We will return immediately and make Earth ours. Then you can return as a conquering hero.
Very well. I will leave this minute before they can discover me. I'm on my way.
Leave for where, Garth?
Pat.
Were you really planning to run out on us?
You should be careful of that gun. It's lethal.
I should have been careful of you. You are, too.
Give it to me. You wouldn't use it on me.
I think I might. Then turn it on myself.
Why?
Because I can't reach you to tell you how much I love you. We call it a communications gap. Isn't that a laugh? That there is no communication between lovers.
I don't know what you mean.
That's the whole problem, Garth. You walk like a man. You look like a man. You talk like a man. But you are not human. You have no feelings. You might as well be a robot.
I am what I was shaped. I might want to change, but I can't.
That's the tragedy of it all. and why I have to kill you before you kill us all. Forgive me, Garth. It all might have been so beautiful.
Look out!
What? Oh, you tricked me, you...
Pat!
It's all right. My own fault. If I couldn't have you, I'm just as well off dead.
No. No. I never wanted it like this. Now I have to get out.
Garth! What in the Sam Hill's going on there?
Stay out of here, Commodore. You can't stop me.
Where do you think you're going?
Back, where I belong.
No, not on this ship, boy. Over my dead body.
If that's the way you want it, that's the way it'll be.
What have you done with Pat? Where is she?
Oh. No. I didn't mean it. It just happened. Unless you want to go the same way, this is your last chance to get off.
Only one of us will ever leave this ship alive.
And it won't be you. You've had your choice. Sit down and don't move till I get her in orbit.
Under the crushing pressure of the takeoff, both McLean and I were frozen in our seats. On the floor, huddled in a corner, Pat's limp body lay like a tossed aside rag. Looking at it, some wave surged up in me, and then before I could understand what it was, the instruments demanded my attention. I forgot everything until we were beyond the gravity belt and I could cut in the engines.
Why did you kill her?
I didn't mean to.
The time-worn excuse. She loved you beyond anything, even me. What a waste.
Don't come near me.
I wouldn't want to. I can find my own death with honor. Just give me leave to take my daughter with me.
How?
In my arms, through the compression lock, and out forever into space.
It solved a problem for me without demanding further action. I let him lift her tenderly and carry her through the inside door. I closed it behind him in relief, and then activated the outside door. His body fell away into space, drifting, still dragged by the last vestiges of Earth's gravity. But by some accident, it was not the same with Pat. Some freak of fate allowed her clothing to become entangled in a forward vein, and suddenly, she was floating beside the cockpit window, her wide, gray-green eyes staring at me accusingly. Phantom witness to my treachery. With a wrench, I tore my eyes from her and concentrated on bursting through the window of the time fold, back to my own world.
This is Trock, the controller of Garth Victor. We have you in view. Repeat. You have broken out of the time fold to starboard of the black hole. This is Trock. We have you in view.
I hear Trock's voice. I see the battle fleet in formation waiting for me to lead it to Earth's destruction. But they are as far away as a dream. What is close to me is the wide gray eyes that hold my gaze beyond the cockpit window. And a voice that is reaching for me from beyond the spheres.
You walk like a man. You look like a man. You talk like a man. But you're not human, Garth.
I am what I was shaped. I might want to change, but I can't.
Why? It might have been so beautiful if you could only have accepted love.
I don't know what it is.
Then you will never know peace. There are two kinds of people in the universe, God. The killers and the victims. But if there were no killers, what a lovely world it might be. Then at last, we might all find peace. Even you, my darling. Even you, my darling. Even you.
Whatever has held her to the ship let go, and I see her snatched away, twisting and turning, and swallowed up in the whirlwinds that reach hungrily from the black hole. And at the same moment, I hear Trock again.
This is Trock to God, Victor. Are you ready to lead us through the time forward so we may destroy Earth?
And suddenly it is blindingly clear. I know what I have to do. I am no longer a cipher. Pat has given me the strength to become a man. This is Garth to control a Trock and the Chronic Fleet. I am ready to lead you, but we do not take the time fold.
Why not?
The most direct route is through the black hole.
The black hole? You must be mad.
No, Trock. Believe me, I was never more sane in my life. It's the high road to the last best destiny for all of us. Follow me. I bang and head for the threatening vortex. Only now it seems to me like a welcoming gate. In no time, the winds themselves are stronger than my engines, and my ship is caught up in a mad, helical swirl that spirals me down, down forever into the blankness of nothing. Behind me, the fleet comes, caught one by one and doomed to final destruction as I am. Except that far below, through the buffeting winds, I can see my beloved's face. Pat, the woman and the partner I know at last, can make me whole. And I know that with the planet Earth's peace, I have bought my own. And whatever fate waits for me, I am coming home at last.
A strange and disturbing story. And a far journey for all of us, beyond familiar stars and back again to the depths of the void. Isn't it nice our thrills were only vicarious? And at the end, we can wake up in our own armchairs to a warm, familiar world. I'll be back shortly. Sometimes I take the notion to oil my door, but then I wonder, if it were not for that strange eldritch screech as it opens, would all of you come knocking on it? Without the promise of the bizarre, the sometimes terrifying that its challenging voice offers you. Besides, I have oiled it, but it murmurs just the same. Or cries, if that's how it sounds to you. So, who am I to tamper with the unaccountable? Our cast included Tony Roberts, Carol Tytel, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. A preview of our next tale.
He died a few years back, but he claimed to have established direct communication with the spiritual world.
How did he do that?
Through the opening of his spiritual senses.
And you? Well, can you? Has that happened to you?
Of course not. It didn't happen to Swedenborg until he was 57 years of age. But it might happen, or something very like it might happen to me, if only...
What, Gottfried? If only what?
If only I could escape.
Escape whom? Escape what?
An evil influence, Carl. It hangs over me night and day.
Oh, how can you say such things?
Because I know them to be true. There is an evil genius, a vile spirit, whose sole intent is to ensnare me and to ensure my damnation.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
That's the show for today. If you want to hear more from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, more science fiction, or more old-time radio, just visit relicradio.com. Find all the shows listed right on the front page, alongside links to our forum, Shoutcast Stream, and everything else Relic Radio. There's also a donate button if you'd like to help support this show and all the shows. It's how it's all made possible. Thank you very much to those who have donated. You're the reason we're still doing it. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Relic Radio Science Fiction. Relic Radio Science Fiction is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.